the stretch that had like zero coverage for you know, all different various carriers. But I guess what I'm getting at is that the people in Banff Fayetteville realize that if they were able to remove the cell site instrument, the cell site equipment, and other radio equipment up there, and somebody got into an accident and they could not use their phone when they needed help severely at that particular time, what would happen if they hired a good lawyer and the lawyer went after the town and actually won? Did they realize what would happen?
Yeah, the town fathers, I believe, have an insurance policy that protects them from lawsuits. I think that such a thing exists. Who would you really sue? The mayor of the town and all of her administration, Mayor Victoria Siegel, is strongly in favor of the antennas being there. She allowed them to be put there in 1993. And she was voted out of office at one time because she did that, but now she's back into office, and there are people threatening to vote her out of office again. So her administration recognizes that the risk-benefit ratio of having a cell site, even if there is non-confirmed risk of the kind that the residents are worried about, the risk-benefit ratio is so far in favor of the cell site that even if the risk could be confirmed, there's strong reason to say that the Victoria's administration would allow the cell site to remain. It is the rest of the residents of the town who have whipped themselves into, I wouldn't say a frenzy, but a strong common opinion. When I was there and I talked to the residents, and some of my relatives live there, I've come to the conclusion that if I took a survey, I suspect that 90% of the town is all of one mind. That's the evidence that I've seen in my little anecdotal survey, that there is one or two very charismatic people in the town who, with some technical knowledge and misinterpretation of the technical knowledge, have convinced the rest of the residents that this is the truth that they must fight, that they must circle the wagons against all of these agencies that are working not in their favor. That's approximately where it stands. And it's a very difficult problem. And it's going to go on for years, and I don't see a happy outcome. Over you for any other comments on this, Joe. W2RYY, K2R.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Oh, I'm aware that the town probably has an insurance policy that covers them being sued for something like that. But if somebody sues them and wins, that insurance policy is paid for by tax dollars. Now, what do you think happens if the insurance company has to pay out a huge settlement? I would bet the price of that insurance policy would go up substantially, and so would the people's taxes they pay per year. Don't you agree?
Hold on now, Joe. Let me play devil's advocate here. The people in charge of town government are in favor of the antennas remaining. It's only the residents of the town that want them removed. Are you going to sue 7,000 residents, every man, woman, and child in the town? And do you think you can win that case? Over to you, Joe.
Well, the residents are telling the town to have the town take the antennas off the tower. So the town would be the instrument that would be taking the antennas off the tower, correct?
I don't think it's going to come down to that. By the way, I keep calling it town, it's a village. The village of Bayville, the village fathers are in favor of the antennas there. I don't think they would allow the antennas to be removed unless there was a court order demanding that. From where is that court order going to come from? When the county, the state, and the federal, and the Department of Homeland Security says, no, you will not do that. Therefore, you and I are speculating what will happen if they get removed. There's a whole lot of steps that have to happen between now and their removal. I am predicting they will not be removed. And if the smoke finally settles, the 85% coverage is going to become a higher percentage of coverage because more antennas must be added for human safety in the town as it stands right now. Over to you, Joe.
Okay, very good. So that's how you think it'll play out. Well, I hope it does play out that way. If they try to take the antennas off, they get put right back on with the eminent domain clause and the that the government could probably pull on them, and that will be that. Now, that will end everything, won't it?
Okay.
Many years ago.
The front cover of Newsday magazine, Newsday newspaper, January of 2010, the assistant district attorney of Nassau County said that if the village residents succeed in removing the antennas from the water tower, that's where they're located, she went on record to say, I will take over the water tower by eminent domain and I will put the antennas back. That's an exact quote from the assistant district attorney. Front cover of news, it wasn't the story's on the front cover, but it was on page 3 that she was quoted saying that. What were you just saying, Mel? K2KEY, K2RIW?
Well, you're talking about a lawsuit. Now, I'm going to go back 35 years at least ago. In my neighborhood, remember the case, a person fell on the street. It was during it was really cold. It was slippery. It was bad weather. Cold. They fell on the street, and they were bleeding profusely. And the only thing nearby was a regular payphone, and I guess it was AT&T, at that time it was Bell Telephone, a regular payphone, and it did not work. The family, the person did expire, and they sued Bell at the time for that, of course, that if that phone would have been working possibly, they could have gotten the needed help for this person. Their family member would have gotten help, been able to, get an ambulance and maybe save their lives. What do you think was the outcome of the lawsuit?
I don't know. You're going to have to tell me, Mel.
Okay. Bell Telephone argued and won the case that they are not responsible, that the telephone that is out of order is not their responsibility for anybody as far as an emergency situation. It's like this phone, this public phone, is like a volunteerism, that if you volunteer, in other words, the Good Samaritan type law, they basically quoted, you come to the aid of somebody in the street and they pass away, you are not liable over.
That's probably the way that Bell System argued that case and won. However, from my point of view, they are providing, like you said, a Good Samaritan. They are providing a public service by giving you a public telephone. Some vandal in that town decided to damage that phone. You can't hold Bell responsible for every malicious mischief child that feels like damaging a phone. I think it could have also been argued that way. What do you think, Mel?
I can make the same argument for a cell phone. The municipality has to be, in a situation where, maybe, I guess, if the majority, I guess this is still America, Dick, if the majority of the municipality, if it's a private municipality or whatever, was to argue the case that they're against it, I guess as long as this is America, it's the majority rules. Am I correct?
Quick comment. OYS.
Quick comment first, and then OYS in that order. Who is quick comment?
KC2 WGB. John. My quick comment is not the town of Bayville exposing themselves now because they're sort of dragging their feet to provide the extra 15% coverage? What happens to someone who gets injured or killed or whatever in that area? Now they're going to have recourse because of, not because it's the city fathers, but because nobody is pushing the issue. Nobody's going to court to try to get it done.
You make a good point, John. And as I see, they hired this rather expensive consulting firm that created the PARC report, P-A-R-K, and I forget what PARC stands for. It's the name of the organization. And it published a very well-documented report. It goes on for about 30 or so pages. I've got a copy of it. And the only complaint I can make about the PARC report, as I said, it's quite traceable to the Bureau, is that it doesn't use enough human-friendly language. It's in good technical language. and therefore the residents didn't understand it, is one possible interpretation. Who was the other person who had a comment? K2RIW.
Rogers, KC2OAS, my name is Mark, I'm from Queens. In all 50 states, there is no, I forget what they call it. There's no duty to protect the individual, not in any one of the 50 states. So, I don't know where that would go, but I would assume that if the police don't respond on time, or the fire doesn't respond on time, or the ambulance doesn't respond on time and someone dies, they're not responsible. KC2OAS.
Strongly disagree.
Yeah, Mark, what makes you think that that is true? Is that a state law, federal law? What kind of law says that, in your opinion, Mark? Go ahead.
It's not in any state. There is actually a book out. I don't have the book in front of me with all the different cases from every state. It's called Call 911 and Die. So you can look this up or whatever. I have to go to sleep. I really can't do it right now. But it is in the book from all 50 states. There's cases from every state that they're not responsible to protect the individual.
Okay, the fact that somebody published a book doesn't necessarily mean it's the exact truth. Who said they disagree?
KC2WGB. They are supposed to protect the citizenry of this America. That is their job, starting from Washington, D.C., right down the line. I strongly disagree with it, that it's not their responsibility to protect us.
Yeah, I suspect that there's a possibility that if you really do something that is wrong, you could probably be sued for criminally negligent homicide. And in some cases, you might lose that case if it can be proven that you maliciously did something that endangered other people's lives. If you did it out of pure ignorance, or if there's a failure in the equipment because of malicious mischief of children, that's a more difficult case to win, in my opinion. Anybody got any further comments on this one? Boy, we've gotten on a pleasant subject tonight. K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2RIW.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Dick, a little bit of Googling will get you a number of cases where the courts have ruled that it was not the police's responsibility to protect the individual. Right now I'm looking at Warren versus the District of Columbia, case where citizens had called the police. Police didn't respond. They sued and they lost. So, yes, as far as I can tell, there is no absolute legal requirement. At least there's no case law that says that the police have to protect the individual.
You know, if we dig deep enough, Bernie, I'll bet you we can find lawsuits that went in each direction. In some cases, the plaintiff won, in some cases the plaintiff lost. I'll bet you it's gone both ways. And it's a matter of how do you prove criminally negligent homicide if you are a first responder organization that was set up with the intention, like fire, police, and ambulance, was set up with the intention of protecting life. You have to really prove intentional negligence, as I see it. And in that case, I think you might win. So I suspect there is no absolute guarantee that if you drive recklessly, you get yourself into an accident, and then these first responder organizations are supposed to protect your life, and your life doesn't get protected, I'm not sure you can always win that case. I'm not sure it goes both ways if we dig deep enough. We've come to the bewitching hour. This was TechNet number 1304 of the series that began in September of 1982. We ain't going to settle all these issues. These are tough issues. But we'll be back next week to discuss it some more. 73, you all. Be kind to each other. Be careful out there. Use your cell phone wisely. Mel, K2KEY, you've got it, sir.
Hey, this is K2KEY. I thank everybody that joined us. And again, to reiterate just one point with the email, make them brief. I am not a great typist. I'm a hunting pecker, more or less. And if I can answer something briefly or if it's of interest, I will bring it up here on the TechNet. But again, as Dick said, no guarantee. Also, we'll try to stick to the format. I know the phone calls were plenty of phone calls back up, so I'll just answer them all and say, yes, I'll see if I can be a policeman on this net. We'll stick to this, try to stick to the subjects. Please, anybody want to call in, you'll list your question, but after that, we will stick to each individual subject for a period of time. All right? So please bear with us, and thank you for your comment. This is K2KEY wishing everybody a great 4th of July, and don't forget what this is all about, the 4th of July. But stay safe. 73 is all. Good night.
K2KEY. Hi, Ralph. WDTHWW.
Okay, Howie, I only got a minute because I got a full-flung party going on here, and so it hasn't ended yet. Go ahead, quick.
Okay, I'll let you get to your party. I didn't know that you had a party. All right, you have a great day. I'll see you during the week. K2KEY, WD2HWW. Enjoy the 4th.
Hey, Howie. 73. We'll catch up with you during the week.
Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.